Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm on there, Andrew, yeah? Okay. Good to see you all. And Keith has given me this song, the Song of Mary. I'm from Ballywalter, and we do not sing the Song of Mary in Ballywalter at this time of year particularly. There are songs in Ballywalter at this time of year. I'm not going to get into that. I don't hardly know them anymore. But let me say this, every song has a context, and as I tried to get myself ready to preach on this song, and I read it over and over again, I realized that you can't preach on this song without preaching on the context. So, first of all, we want to turn to Luke chapter 1, and I suggest that there are three scenes and then a song, okay? So three scenes and then a song, and we might get to the song if we're lucky. But if we don't get to the song, if you understand the build-up to the song, then when you read the song, you will really get the song, okay? If you don't get the scenes before the song, you really don't get the song. What was Mary singing about? She was singing about something. Something spurred this song along. And it was phenomenal. And if you really want somebody learned to read on this, very accessible and easy to understand, but mind-blowing, get David Gooding's book on Luke. And with all his knowledge, he compacts so much into just a few pages that will blow your mind away. So first of all, the first scene. And it's where we think it should be, but not who we think it should be with. Because it's in Jerusalem, and it's in the temple. Now, I was in Newnard yesterday. Timothy wanted to go up to the all-weather pitch and kick the ball around with some wee lads, and knowing Newtonards as I do, I said, well, I will be there while you're kicking the ball around, because things can happen on football pitches. So I was sitting there, and half the pitch was being used by some, let me say, older men playing football. They were actually patched together, most of them, with grip. Most of them had some sort of thing around their leg to hold their muscles in. I even noticed, because I work in the hospital, somebody was wearing a pair of those socks that prevent blood clots. He looked really weird in his shorts and his white thrombosis socks pulled up to his knee. And these guys just didn't look like they should be playing football, but they were giving it a go. And when we joined the start of this chapter, you know the start of the chapter. Let me ask you to do one thing before we go any further. Forget Christmas exists. Forget Christmas exists. Try and come to this really fresh, like you've never heard it before. Christmas did not exist when Mary sang this song. This is the first hymn in the Christian era. This is heralding in Christ, the child in her womb, the Savior of the world, but Christmas has not yet happened. And we read this stuff and we're so familiar with it that we read through it too quickly and we miss so much stuff. So first of all, Zachariah and Elizabeth are an old couple. They're both well on in years. Elizabeth is barren, they don't have any children. Zachariah eventually, after all the years, probably gets, and has waited for this for years, gets his turn to go in and minister at the altar to burn incense. And he goes in, and I think he goes in with little expectation, because there's been 400 years of silence from God, 400 years that God has not spoken to his people. And David Gooding will explain to you that if you go back to Malachi, you'll see that Malachi said that the dawn was about to come. And David Gooding says this is just the last few hours before dawn. And Zechariah goes into the temple, and he's at the altar of burning incense, and behold, an angel of God appears beside him. And the angel of God tells him that his wife is going to have a baby. He says, your prayer has been answered, Zechariah. Now, there are two things here. Zechariah probably hasn't prayed for a baby for years because he's well past the age, and his wife is well past the years to have a baby. But he's in there praying about, because it's the time of burning incense, he's probably repeating what they repeat over and over again, that God would come and deliver his people. And his prayer for his son and God's prayer to deliver the world seem to just meet at that time. And God says, your prayer has been answered, Zechariah. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And he tells him how great his son is going to be. And then we come in. His son is going to be phenomenal. He says things like, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. This is phenomenal stuff. He says, Zechariah, the child, your wife, your old lady that you're married to, and you, an old man, the child you're going to have is going to bring back people to the Lord their God. That's phenomenal. And if you read that quickly at Christmas and missed it, that is mind-blowing, that this child's whole reason for life is to actually bring back Israelite people to the Lord their God. That is if you read Deuteronomy, that is a term for God that you read over. You cannot read hardly a verse in Deuteronomy, certainly not a chapter, without reading that title for God, the Lord your God. And he says this child will bring back people to the Lord their God. In verse 18, read it with me, chapter 1. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years. The AV says something like, I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. I'm glad Elizabeth never read it in the AV. For a man to say that sort of thing about his wife is horrendous. So she was an old woman. He said, I am an old man and my wife is well on in years. How can I be sure, angel? Are you sure you got your information right? How can I, an old man, and my wife, an old lady, have a child who will bring back people to the Lord their God? Are you sure this? How can I be sure of this? And the angel's answer is very to the point. And this is why you need to get this before you get to Mary's song, these scenes, scene one. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And in between that word and the next word, they both know why he's made a big mistake here. Because you haven't believed this good news, Zechariah. I am an angel of God. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to tell you this good news. How can you be sure? Now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time, because God sent me to tell you this. That's how you can be sure. And then verse 23, and when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Scene one closed. God's still alive, you know. In the 21st century, I think we think that God has resigned. God has stepped aside. We do our own thing, but God is absolutely still the same. It may seem that he's been silent for a long time now, but I'll tell you, God is exactly the same. There are still, the angel Gabriel still takes orders from God. God is absolutely almighty. And if God speaks into your heart, even tonight, not through this preacher, but through the power of his Holy Spirit, you take note of that. I worked up in Magellan Aerospace for a while. I was just doing stuff at nights, and I was on night shift, and I had four different team leaders that I worked under on a four-weekly basis. And the trendiest guy, and the guy that I was more frightened of, and everything else, called me into his office one night. He said, "I've got a question for you." He said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "Tell me this, are there rules in the Bible that God says that parents should have rules for their children?" I says, "Yeah, there are. There are scriptures about that, how you should bring up your children and everything else." He says, "That's all I wanted to know. Off you go." And I went home and I thought about that. And it nearly drove me mad until I got in the next night. And I went to his door and knocked the door timidly. And I said, "Look, I want to talk to you. A guy like you, who doesn't seem to have any interest in God, all of a sudden gets a God thought. That didn't come from you. That came from God. God is trying to say something into your life. You just didn't. You might have thought you just, out of the blue, you decided to call me in and ask me that question. But that is God planting something in your... You don't have a God thought, but God speaks it into your heart." And I said, "You better take note of that. God is working in your life." And I left it at that. He said, "I don't think so." He said, "Somebody else could have come in from some other direction, and I could ask them the same question from another point of view. You just happened to be there." I said, "I don't think so. But you better take God seriously in your life. God is still the same." Scene 2, chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month of this old lady's pregnancy. In the sixth month, this is how Luke puts it, in the sixth month of this lady's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel's still taking orders from God. Not to Jerusalem this time, but to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. This now seems to be the wrong place and the wrong person. But God is no respecter of persons. God has everybody on his radar for something. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Do you see what's happening? 400 years of silence. Then an angelic appearance to an old priest who thinks that he's dried up, Israel's dried up, God doesn't do anything anymore, and God says, "I'm about to do something." And then just 5-6 months later, the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sends the angel Gabriel again. Things are happening just before this song. God sends the angel Gabriel again, this time to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. That is good news. That is incredible news to who? To a little servant girl. to a little girl who you would not expect God to be have on his radar, on the top of the list, Mary engaged to Joseph, living in Galilee, in Nazareth, down in Galilee. Gabriel, go and see her. Tell her she's found favor with me. Tell her that I actually want her to be the person who carries my son into the world and in her womb. Now, Mary believes this, but Mary doesn't know how it can happen because it is an impossibility. By the way, when Zachariah went home, there was a natural conception. I think that's those verses are in there. They're important. There is only, it's miraculous because of their age. God actually winds back the process of decay in their bodies, which actually is a bigger picture of God winding back the process of decay and sinfulness in our world. I read David Gooding on that. It's amazing. And then he says this, and then Mary says to the angel, how will this be? Not, are you sure it's going to be? But God, I believe you. But how will it be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even and now, listen, this is how God works in our lives. We are dreadfully feeble. We are weak in our minds as far as God's concerned, and sometimes weak in our bodies, and weak in all sorts of ways spiritually, and God's going to help Mary along here. He helps us along, you know. Gives us other people in our lives to help us along. And he gives her this amazing sign. He says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. Do you notice how heaven takes note of everything in this passage? The angel said, just earlier there, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. Where did Gabriel ever learn Mary's name? From God. God knows your name. God knows your circumstances, and God has a plan for your life. And God says, Mary, even your relative Elizabeth, who's an old woman, is going to have a baby, and she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said this. Mary said this. Have you ever stopped in God's plan and just without all the worries and all the other angles that is this the right thing to do and is this the right thing to do and how will this impinge on this and how will this work out with that? And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her, gone. Scene two, finished. Scene three. Mary didn't hang around. Mary has had an angel of God appear to her. Mary's heard the most incredible news that any little Jewish girl could ever hear. Mary's heard news that all the little Jewish girls must have thought that God would go to a princess and say it to if he ever got round to doing it after 400 years, if the Messiah was ever going to come. And he said it to me, Mary's thinking, but he's also given me this little lifeline. He's also given me an extra bit of news. Elizabeth, I remember Elizabeth. She lives away down in, it's a village. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried down to a town in the hill country of Judea. Didn't even give us the name of where she, where, where Elizabeth lives. And Mary's thinking, I remember her. I remember going to her house and she seemed old then. What on earth age is she now? This. And so Mary hurries across the hill country. I love this wee bit of scripture because it just brings some sort of Disneyland sort of feeling into my head just to see her go across the hill country, down into the back of nowhere, over the hills and far away, and into Elizabeth's house. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she proclaimed, blessed. Well, get back to that. See the way you slip? Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Now, I've asked you to forget about Christmas. I'm going to ask you to forget about something else far more difficult. Forget about smartphones. Forget about email. Forget that BT even exists. Forget that Virgin have a mobile system. Forget whoever you're with your broadband. Forget the fax machine hasn't even been invented. Forget next day delivery with the postage. Forget all of that. Elizabeth doesn't know that Mary's coming. But Elizabeth knows when Mary comes and her greeting reaches her and the baby leaps in her womb, Elizabeth knows from the Holy Spirit of God that Mary is going to be the mother of her Savior, the Lord. This is God stuff. This is incredible. And why would thus not inspire a song that would be the first hymn sung in the Christian era? This is stuff that just blows your heart away and blows your mind away. And that's the end of scene three. And so we come to the song. The song has 15 points. We're just going to do the first 14. And Mary said, the verse says, but we'll assume because Keith said it was a song, it's a song. So I'll sing it to you. No. My soul glorifies the Lord. Now the Authorized Version and the ESV says my soul magnifies the Lord. I love that. It's called the Magnificat in church. Over the years, it's been known, this song has been known as the Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, with all the problems that Mary's going to face, and she's going to face lots of problems, you try explaining this pregnancy to your parents and to your fiancé. You try and explain this to all of the other people. You try and get through all the difficulties that Mary's going to get through for the rest of her life. But with all of the problems that she can see ahead of her, and there will be many more, what does she do? Her soul actually doesn't magnify the problems. Her soul magnifies the Lord. She gets her focus on God and she magnifies Him. And she has every right to magnify Him just after what has happened. An angel visits Zachariah. Zachariah is told your old lady wife is going to have a baby. Zachariah Zachariah goes home. His wife conceives in her old age. She's 5 months pregnant. She stays in seclusion. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel goes to this virgin Mary, and Mary hears what the virgin has to say to her. You are going to be the mother of the Messiah. Your old cousin, your old relative, is going to have a baby in her old age. And now she's gone down to the house and she saw Elizabeth in all her fullness eating pizza with banana and onion on the top of it and tomato sauce spread on cheese. And she's a pregnant lady. There's all sorts of weird things. This is her old relative pregnant. That was a joke there about feeding ads when you're pregnant, by the way. I didn't want you to laugh at it. Thank you. And all of this has happened. And Mary goes, Lord, you're amazing. My soul magnifies you. What a great God you are. And not only that, but my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Note, Mary saw Jesus as her Savior. She didn't see herself as co-equal with Jesus or with God. She was mindful of God. She glorified him and she rejoiced that God was bringing the Savior into the world. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Now, in terminology over the years, we've got to the point of calling her blessed, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that carries along with it some connotations of some sort of special religious power sort of figure. But really, she is only blessed, but she's blessed out of this world with blessing. And I think she's saying that if I can be blessed that way in my humble state, anybody with this Savior can be blessed that way. We're all, she says, blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I also want you to notice here that Mary said, holy is his name and not holy is my name. I don't want to get in trouble or kick somebody the feet from under somebody, but she never took the title Holy Mary upon herself. She never put herself on a par with God. She calls him the Mighty One and says, holy is his name. And then his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And I'm in a hurry, so nothing will ever change. Generation to generation, we're generations and generations on from this, and it's still the same. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. This is a humble thing. Mary is being humble. She's being humble before God. She's saying, God, I'm just so humbled that you've done this with me, your servant. This is a heart thing. God knows the heart of every man, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost heart, in their inmost thoughts. How is your heart before God? Are you humble or are you proud? Because God scatters the proud in heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. Hamilton Road, sit here tonight, and you're blessed in a lot of ways, but you're not filthy rich. Go to the newsagent and stock on every shelf are magazines. I see them in the hospital every day. People have them in their rooms. Hello Magazine and all this stuff about all the celebrities, and they have hundreds of millions of pounds, and they're as miserable as the day is long. with all their money and with all their houses and with all their sports cars and with all their possessions and with all their Rolex watches and with everything that they have, and they will spend money on therapy and all sorts of stuff, but they haven't got Jesus. And we need Jesus. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. By the way, not next week, but the week after you go to Kilcooley. That is not a sideshow. That is where God's going to be at work. God is at work among the ordinary, poor, sinful people. Make that your priority. If you're signed up to go, that you're not going because this is something I have to do, because it'll only be a week and it'll be over with. Now we'll be out of Kilcooley. This is where God is going to be at work. God has a harvest to do there in Kilcooley. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. And this is grounded in history, in the Old Testament, in the story of how God dealt with his people right down through the ages. And in a way, as David Gooding says, Mary sees this as no really absolutely astonishing thing in one way, because God is just doing what God always does, amazing things in ordinary people's lives, if you really throw yourself into his arms. Listen to the last line. The song is over. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. What did she return home to? She returned home to face the music. She returned home to face her family. She returned home to face Joseph. I don't know the choreography if you read Matthew chapter 1 and how it all happened. Thank the Lord that he sent an angel in a dream to Joseph and told them it'd all be okay. But listen, Mary had to go home and face that. But I'll tell you what, she went home to face the music. But the song had already been written in her heart by the Savior who was dwelling in her womb. And he would come into the world to save all people. And he'd save her from all her troubles. And one day, her son, Jesus Christ, would make her fit as he died on the cross, her as well as us, to go and face his Father face to face one day. What an amazing good news. So this Christmas, it's 4 months away. Get ready for it. It's good news. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this song. Thank you for the build-up to it, for the amazing news that it is. God is alive. Jesus has come. Sin has been forgiven. The humble have been lifted up. The proud in heart have been cast aside. The rich have been put down. The weak have been lifted up. And you love people. And it's not about money, whether we have nothing or whether we have millions. We can have millions and still be as humble as a person that's nothing. It's about loving you with our heart. So Lord, do that work in all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.